Good morning, church. Welcome to church, and we're glad to see you all here. For those of you joining us online, welcome here. Thank you for joining us as well. We're excited to be here, excited for a new year, what God's going to do, and man, there's going to be some prizes this year. There's going to be some surprises this year, and some of them will be good, and some of them will be probably hard. But we just sang about how good, and I just appreciate how Dave mentioned the aspect of that God is good, God is faithful in all of those things. And so as we begin a new year, we're beginning a new series, and we're talking about habits again. If you, somebody actually remembered that we did this, hey, I remember that from last year. It's like, good, I'm glad you remember. I hope you remember more than just some of those things. But we're going into a series, again, talking about some habits, some spiritual habits that we can put in place as we go throughout our new year. This is, of course, the time of year we hear much about New Year's resolution that statistically people abandon by mid-February. So do you ever find yourself dreading some of these conversations that happen at the beginning of the year? Conversations where people talk about what they want to do more of in the coming year, what they want to do less of in this coming year. Maybe it's you want to eat healthier, exercise more, quit a bad habit, travel more. You know, some of those things, they include a lot of those things. Maybe it's read the Bible more regularly, pray more often. These conversations are familiar at this time of year, but maybe these conversations are a painful reminder of the failures of the past that you can't move beyond a week or two or even past that February 14th deadline. So it's just a painful reminder of those failures. You might have friends or family members or coworkers who seem to achieve these goals that they set relatively easy. I mean, that's at least that's the way that we view them. We see them. That man, that just seems so easy for them, but it's so hard for me. Because I believe we all have the same goals, the same intentions. We want to be that better husband, that better wife, a better student, a better employee, better wherever you're at. Put yourself in there. We all have the same basic goals. We want to do better in those areas. However, our goals and good intentions will only be realized when we have a system in place that will change those good intentions into reality. The game changer for those who succeed is that they do consistently what others only do occasionally. Successful people have good habits that make up the rhythm of their lives to succeed. And this morning, I have some good news and some bad news for you. I don't know if you're like me or not, but I always like to hear the good news first because I like to save, or sorry, the bad news first because I want something good after the bad news. Yeah, this is terrible, this sucks, but there is good news beyond that. So I'm gonna share with you the bad news first. The bad news is this. Now, when you're looking to succeed, when you're looking to grow spiritually, when you're looking to succeed in your spiritual life and any portion of your life, there are no shortcuts. There are, I know there's all these infomercials that talked about us, you know, the easy road to success, 5 minutes to better abs. Really? It's not true. It's a lie. 5 minutes a day, seriously? While I'm eating my chips, it's not going to happen. But we see all these shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. And sometimes we buy into what the world is trying to tell us. It takes time to develop good habits, to meet our goals. It might even take months and weeks or years to meet the goals that we have set in place. One small step at a time. If a child was to give up the first time that they took their first step and fell over, nobody would be walking. One small step at a time is what it takes. Good intentions, the right goals are good. but our goals and good intentions don't determine our success. Good systems or good habits determine our success. Change the system to that which creates the results for success. And the good news is this. That's the bad news. There are no shortcuts. There are no easy road to success. There are no one day I want to know how to read the Bible, tomorrow I understand it all. There is a progression that happens. There's no easy. But the good news is that one small habit at a time produces big results in the future. We're starting this year by looking at developing at least one small spiritual habit that will make a big difference in your life, maybe a year from now, maybe 2 years from now, maybe 3 years from now. And just before we move into the rest of the sermon, let's just bow for a word of prayer. Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we quiet our hearts, we quiet our minds, and we just ask, Lord, that you would speak through your Holy Spirit to us this morning as we begin this new sermon series. Oh, Father, would you give us the desire to grow in our spiritual lives, to become the follower of Jesus that you desire, the follower of Jesus that is beyond just some religious person, but somebody who follows you, emulates you, serves you. And so, God, I pray that as we go through this series, that all of us, each one of us here today, no matter how young or how old, that we would choose a spiritual habit that we would like to work on this year. So, God, pray that you would, through your Holy Spirit, inspire us this morning. Pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the Bible, we find many examples of successful people because of godly systems that they've put in place. Or we find many unsuccessful people because of the lack of systems that they put in place or the lack of good habits that they've put in place. And today this is just an introduction to our series. We're going to go through five habits. This is just an introduction. And so today we're just going to look briefly at a guy in the Old Testament by the name of Daniel. And I would consider Daniel to be a successful man of God. I mean, if you look at his life, and we're just going to look at one aspect of his life today briefly, and we'll see how Daniel was able to remain faithful in light of doing life, in light of the hardship, in light of the suffering, in light of the struggle that we go through in this life. There was something that set Daniel apart from the others, the people that are around him. The leaders saw that there was something different in Daniel. He was an incredibly godly man. He was a gifted man. He was talented. And when he's thrown into a in a den full of lions because of his faithfulness and obedience to God, he was able to stand strong, trusting God. And he comes out of a lion's den alive. Now, I'm not saying go into a lion's den. You trust God, and you'll. That's not what we're saying at all. But he had developed systems. He had put systems in place to prepare him for difficulty, for challenges. Why was he able to stand strong? Why was he able to remain faithful in this lion's den? And it's because he had the habits in place that led to a life of faith and faithfulness to God. At some point, Daniel had predetermined that he would stop and he would spend time with God three times a day. He had made up his mind. He had predetermined that I am going to spend time with God. I'm going to pray three times a day to spend time with God. It was out of this habit that he had put in a place long before he ever got into trouble or into a crisis that set him up to remain faithful in light of suffering, to remain faithful in light of crisis. I mean, too often we seek God when we're in the middle of the battle, right in the heart of the battle, and that's when we cry out to God. That's when God, I need you because I'm in crisis. God, I need you because I'm going through pain. God, I need you because I'm going through suffering. That's when we, a lot of times, cry out to God. That's when we falter in our relationship and our faith in God, because we haven't taken the time, spent the time to get to know him, to understand who he is, to understand his character, to understand that, yes, God is faithful. He is trustworthy. Even in this hardship, even in this circumstances, I can trust God completely. Daniel knew God. He knew his character. He knew God to be trustworthy in every situation because of the relationship that he had begun prior to walking through the hardship. And so when the king's edict comes down that you know, for 30 days, no prayers or petitions are to be made to any of the gods, but to King Darius alone. And so Daniel responds in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, and I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation, but this is how Daniel responds when this edict comes down. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home, he knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed there three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God, just as he had always done. It was his habit to go to God in prayer three times a day. This was his habit that he had developed. This was his habit that he was sticking to. And so when the edict came down, it didn't rock him. It didn't shake him. His faith wasn't weakened. It's like, no, you know what? I'm going to worship. I'm not going to worship another. I'm not going to worship King Darius. I'm going to worship my God. Why? Because he had predetermined that he was going to be faithful to God, remain faithful in light of whatever happened. Daniel had a habit, in fact, that was foundational in building his faith, strengthening his knowledge of who God is, strengthening his relationship in the aspect of intimacy with who God is. That's why Daniel was able to stand strong and remain faithful when he's thrown into a den of lions. That's why he's able to remain faithful when the crisis arises. Because it wasn't just in the crisis that he began to search for God. He already knew God's character. He already trusted God. Miraculously, Daniel was taken up out of the lion's den and no injury was found on him because he had trusted in God. Daniel 6:23, the last half. I believe as followers of Jesus, we too have the same goals. We want to grow in our knowledge of who God is. We want to grow in our faith. We want to be faithful to Jesus. We don't want to fall apart when crisis happens. We want to know and understand who God is. We want to serve God. We want to honor him with our lives. We want to glorify God's how we live our lives. We want to be like Daniel, to have the kind of faith that he had to remain faithful and not fall apart the moment the crisis arises. That's what we all want, I believe. I trust that's what we all want. If you don't, then I don't know why you're sitting here. If you're just here to be religious, I don't think that's beneficial to you. But if you want to know Jesus, that's why you're here. And we want to be like Daniel. We want to grow in our faith. But the mistake we often make is that we want to change the outcome or the results. We want to be like Daniel. That's what we want to be. We want that outcome, but we don't understand the process to grow in a relationship with Jesus. We don't understand what it takes. Or maybe we just want to be religious. Maybe we're just lazy. Maybe we don't really even care. Or we're looking for the easy road. We have all these ideas. We know what we want as an outcome. I want to lose 20 pounds by Easter. I want to be more organized in the future. I want to finally pay off that one credit card that's been plaguing me for years. I want to be 5 minutes early to work instead of 10 minutes late every day. I want to get to know Jesus better. I want to know the Bible better to be able to understand who Jesus is. I want to read it every day. I want to pray every day. The problem is this. for those who struggle in these areas, the problem is this. We don't look at the system or the habits that Daniel had in place, that he had practiced over a long period of time before these things ever began to happen. So when we don't see results fast enough, what we do is we make the wrong conclusion that this small little action, this small little step that we've taken towards that goal of becoming like Daniel, praying three times a day, what we do is we make the wrong conclusion that those small little actions don't really make a difference. And then we are in danger of wrongly concluding that if one small good decision doesn't seem to make a difference in my life, then neither will one small bad decision make a difference either, right? We're making some wrong conclusions. People don't get into financial trouble in one day. Our relationships don't fall apart in one day over one incident. The addiction didn't get out of control in a week. It happens gradually. One small bad choice after another, and one day you find yourself asking, where did it all go wrong? One bad habit, one bad decision at a time. Now that's bad news. The same is also true in good news. The same is true for the small good decisions. They aren't being wasted. One good decision, one good spiritual habit at a time will build your faith and faithfulness in Christ. For about 2.5, 3 years now, I've been going to the gym. I started off somewhat regularly, but I started going to the gym because for the past 10, 15 years, my job has been mainly inactive. I sit in a chair, an office chair, a lot. And so I experience lots of back pain and lots of neck pain. And so my chiropractor said, this is why. Your muscles are slack. They're just flopping around. And so every time you move wrong, yeah, thank you. Your muscles are slack, so they're just flopping around. And in order to change that, I'm like, how can I change it? I'm tired of coming every week. There's weeks I wind up like this. I can't lift my head because my neck is in such pain. And he said basically your muscles are so weak, and so you need to start doing something about them, strengthening those muscles. So I started going to the gym 2.5, 3 years ago, and that's the reason I went. But last January, something started to happen. Something changed. Now, for the past 2.5, 3 years, I wouldn't step on the scale too regularly because, really, quite honestly, I don't appreciate what they have to say to me. Well, so you know what I'm saying, probably. But as I continue to go to the gym, one January day, I found myself, trying. It's like, and I noticed something happened. That thing was, it was like, can this be right? You know, I stepped on it again. Can this be right? And it was starting to move down. Well, that's exciting. After 2.5 years, that was an exciting thing to see happen. And as I continued to go to the gym and continued to make it a habit in my life, something else happened. I began to eat differently. I began to eat at different times, or not eat at different times, probably was the bigger issue there. I began to train differently. And I began to make going to the gym a priority, 5 times a week. This is what I want to, this is the process I want to put in place. This is the system I want to put in place. I want to go 5 times a week. And fast forward to today, I've lost 40 pounds since January 2021. Now, in reality, that journey began 3 years ago, and it's a long journey. It's a long process. It's hard. It's not easy. You guys have been to Christmas stuff and New Year's stuff. It's not easy. Somebody decided they needed to make homemade donuts for New Year's Eve. And I mean, they were delicious, but instead of having four, I had one, you know. So, but it's putting something in place, developing a habit, putting a process in place. But do you know what's more than reaching the goal of losing the weight? The goal was really, in reality, was to help my neck and my back issue, and it has. That's a good goal. Along the way, some other things happen that are really good. But do you know what? I enjoy the process. I'm not just looking for the end result, because if we focus too hard on the end result, we miss the process. And the process of getting there can be beautiful. I began to train at the gym differently to maximize the time that I was there and the results that happened, because I began to enjoy and I began to value the process of what it's like. The process includes two different things. The process includes preparation and separation. Preparation, for preparing to go to the gym, I think about what I'm going to eat, when I'm going to eat. If you prepare, then you don't eat junk quite as much. What days am I going to go? How is it going to impact my schedule? Not drinking a Coke a day is one thing that I had to separate from. You know, there's hardship. Separating from Coke. But those are the separations that are necessary. There's separation from separating yourself from bad habits, separating from having the second, the third helping. Bad habits like eating in the evening. You know, those are things that I had to separate myself from. But I began to enjoy the process. And if you enjoy the process, it begins to make it easier. But it does take hard work, and it does take a long time. But the results are worth the effort. In my spiritual life, for my spiritual health, in the last year, what I've been focusing on is focusing on my time with God in prayer. And it includes my corporate prayer time. I've never been a big fan of corporate prayer. Till this, probably about the last year, year and a half. What is corporate prayer? It's meeting together, just praying together. But one of the things that I've made a habit in this past year is that Wednesday night at 7 p.m. is prayer night. When I look on my calendar, somebody says, hey, you want to do something this week? Sure, Wednesday is busy. What are you doing Wednesday? I'm busy, I have prayer night. I've made it a habit that that's my night for prayer. Yeah, I've missed a few. It's not that I don't miss some, but I've made it a habit because I believe the benefit of being together corporately with some people to pray together from the church is so beneficial to my life. In fact, often I will come to prayer night and I will sit there and not say a single word. I will just take in the prayers of others, agree with the prayers of others. Because sometimes the reality is, sometimes I come to prayer night and I don't feel like being there. I didn't want to be there in the first place. But it's a habit, so I just go. But by the end of those prayer nights, when I haven't felt like going, I have been so encouraged by the Holy Spirit, by the others, what's going on in their life and their encouragement and how they pray for me. You know what's the hardest thing when you go to this prayer thing and they say, Gary, how can I pray for you today? Leave me alone. I'm here sulking a bit. How can I pray for you? It's powerful. I began to enjoy the process because the end result is when I go home, I am encouraged in the Lord. I am excited. There's a smile on my face. I enjoy the process. I enjoy the end result of getting to know others better and Jesus better. For many, if not all of us, our goals tend to deal with things like lust of the flesh, money, fame and beauty and maybe losing weight and some other things, whatever. You know, you have your own things. You have your own list. And while there's nothing inherently sinful about these things, Scripture helps us to better understand God's perspective on them. Scripture helps to check our heart for the reasons we have for wanting to do these things, to move in that direction. And the Scripture helps us to have an eternal perspective. Changing our perspective from here and now till all time. What we want to do in this series is we want to focus on spiritual habits that will increase our faith and faithfulness as a follower of Jesus. My prayer, as I've been praying through this series for, I don't know, a month, month and a half, my prayer as we begin our series called Habit is that each one of us, absolutely every one of us. Kids, young adults, older people. That we seek God's desire for an area to either that we start or continue to grow in as we begin this year with one small spiritual discipline that leads to big results. I believe it'll change the quality of your life if you begin to develop one spiritual habit. And I would encourage you, as we're going through this series over the next 5 weeks, that you even write it down. Where am I at spiritually? How is my prayer life? How is my Bible reading? What is the thing? How is my fasting? How is my life in community? How do I serve? How do I do all of these things? Write it down where you're at, some kind of a note. And then a year from now, let's look back and look at how we're doing. Are we growing? Has this one small habit that we put in place, has it benefited me spiritually? How has it changed me? It will change you. I know it will change you. It will change the quality of your life, the course of your life, and it will honor and glorify God. What would it be like? What would it be like if the things you don't do consistently now became a part of your life in a year from now, or maybe 2 years from now? Can you just imagine how you would feel? You know what? What would it feel like? I finally read through the New Testament. I finally read through the Old Testament. I don't know what the focus that you want to focus on this year. Maybe it's not even one of the things that we're talking about, and that's okay. But one of this is the one spiritual habit that you want to develop this year. And can you imagine what it would be like if you were walking in victory? I read my Bible every day last year, and now it's just a habit. I get up in the morning and I read my Bible. Oh, what a powerful thing. But it's not only a matter of reading the Bible. That's the goal. I read the Bible for 1 year, but enjoy the process. Enjoy the process of reading your Bible. When you get into the Word of God and you open it up and you see who God is, it is so rich. You will enjoy the process. Just the Word of God jumps off the pages at times because God is revealing himself to you when you're faithful at reading God's Word. You will begin to enjoy the process, and so the habit isn't so painful. It's beautiful. Often we place too high a value on the outcome and undervalue the process that we go through to achieve the goal. We want to get this thing, or we want to do that thing. We want to be this person. We want to have this as a goal in our life. But we don't understand the process that we need to put in place to reach that goal. The process includes two things: preparation and separation. Preparation, here's four ways to help you begin to succeed in developing a spiritual habit, one small spiritual habit. Be prepared. Write these down. If you have time, keep this slide up for a bit, Nate. And we'll look. You know, I want you to write this down. Be prepared as you begin a new spiritual habit. And so as we look at the first one, pray and ponder. That's what I mean. Spend time considering God. God, what is one area where you believe will benefit me the greatest this year as I spend time developing a habit in this one area? Benefit my relationship with Jesus, how I see Jesus, how I view Jesus. Pray about it. And then make a choice. Decide. Make a decision. You and Jesus, make a decision. Choose at least one spiritual habit that you will commit to developing over in the coming months or year or years. And plan. Intentionally plan how you will make the time to begin or develop the new habit. Say, for example, if it's reading your Bible daily, you're going to have a plan. Find a place where you can do this. Find a time where you are most alert, less distracted, less disturbed by any of the things of this world. Find a reading plan that fits you. There's literally hundreds of different Bible reading plans that you can go through. Or you can simply start in Genesis chapter 1. But find a plan, develop a system. You might even have to do this choose to give up something. This is where the separation happens. You might have to choose to give something up in order to get to your Bible reading. Enlist help. Share what you believe God has laid on your heart with someone who is able to cheer you on, who's able to encourage you when it gets hard. To maybe offer helpful hints, things that have worked for them in the past. Tips that will help you along the way. And here's the hard one. When you enlist help, give them someone permission to say, hey, how are you doing on your Bible reading plan today? Or whatever your habit is. Give them permission. It's accountability. We want to grow in our spiritual journey. Yeah, it's hard. But it's so beneficial. Give somebody the authority to hold you accountable, to speak in your life. Be prepared to succeed. Plan. Make a plan. Preparation. And then look at the separation. What are some things that you're going to have to be separated from in order to succeed? By separation, I mean might mean that you need to stop hitting snooze, you know, an extra five times. Or you might have to stop staying up quite so late. But I don't know what your what works best for you. We often talk about morning and night. Maybe that's not even your best time, and that's okay. You need to, but think about it. Sit down and prayerfully think about the time that works for you. What is going to work? What is going to benefit you? Separate yourself from the noise that's all around you. Find a quiet place. For moms, that stay-at-home moms, this is often a hard thing. But prepare. Talk with your husbands. Husband, I need some extra time. Can you take the kids? This is the time of day that works best for me. Can we somehow work around this? For people who are working all day long and you come home to kids, deliberately, diligently seek a place and opportunity that will help you to succeed. Find a quiet place to avoid distractions. Separation from social media. And I'm going to say completely, get rid of it. Social media, I think, is distracting us from so many things, and it's distracting us from God, a relationship with Jesus, or social media, or any electronic device, whatever it is. We may have to separate us from the things that distract us from developing a new spiritual habit. Enlist help. Find somebody who will hold you accountable. This is what I struggle with. Help me with my separation. Be accountable. Hold on to those things. And in all of this, remember to rest in God's grace. This isn't about being legalistic and, man, if you don't hit it every day, you have failed. That's not what God does. There are going to be off days. There are going to be off weeks. Don't be discouraged. Don't beat yourself up. But get back up and keep going. That's why it's the benefit when we enlist help. And enjoy the process. Enjoy the process. Don't just look at the end goal. What is your end goal? How are you going to get there? Enlist help. Enjoy the process. Separate yourself from what needs to be separated. And remember Philippians 2, verse 13. We're not alone in this journey. We're not alone in this journey. Philippians 2, 13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. I love that verse because it reminds us we're not in this alone. As followers of Jesus, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and he's going to give us the power and the desire to follow through. So don't be discouraged. If you've struggled in the past or if you've failed in the past, I was at the gym the other day, and they were having a little group training session, and I was eavesdropping, as I always do in conversations. And this isn't called gossip, I don't think. This is information. Sorry. And that was the question that asked, what is your New Year's resolution? Well, I don't believe in New Year's resolutions either. But I do believe in spiritual habits, that we need to develop spiritual habits. But the question was asked to this group of people, what is your New Year's resolution? And one of the people said, I don't set resolutions because I always fail. And I don't want to fail. It's just disappointing. But that's not what this is all about. This is about growing in our faith journey. This is about growing in Jesus. And so if you've failed and you're in the past, failed at reading the Bible, whatever it is, pick up one of these spiritual disciplines that we go through in the next 5 weeks and enlist help. That's an important part of this. Make a plan. I hope you're going to join us in the next 5 weeks, because there's some really incredible habits that you're going to love as we walk through them. They're going to be hard, but you're going to love them. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we just praise you. We give you all the glory for who you are, your love for us. Thank you that we're not alone when we on this journey. Thank you that through your Holy Spirit, you empower us. Thank you that you give us the desire to do these things. And so, God, pray that as we move on from here, Father, that you would just lay it on our hearts, that as a church collectively, and we would just find one habit that we'd like to develop. So, Father, speak to us. Thank you for speaking to us through your word today. And, God, we just thank you for this new year that you've given to us as well. Pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So look forward to seeing you next week.